Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, February 15th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter How It Works, and we are on page 61, the first paragraph, which begins with what usually happens. We are reading one paragraph only this morning and ending with a producer of confusion rather than harmony. Check, that's me. Today's readers are Mo H., who will be reading the text. Justin B. will be reading page 164. And Sherry Z. is our backup reader today. A newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Robin P. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, February 14th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,959, or 19959. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,963, or 19963. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Liz A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, this is Liz A. from Los Angeles. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Well, thank you so much, Liz A. And next, I will ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Stephanie, for your service. This is Terry from Pensacola, Florida, grateful and recovered one day at a time. the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should autonomously accept in matters of affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Those problems of money, property, and prestige divide us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as a whole, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Ten, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, thank you for allowing me to be of service today, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Terry H. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, it's extremely important that everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in How It Works, and we're on page 61, the first full paragraph, which begins with What Usually Happens. We're going to read just that one paragraph today, and we're going to end with A Producer of Confusion Rather Than Harmony. And I will ask Mo H. to begin reading.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie, and all on the line. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Usually what happens, the show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think life doesn't treat him right. He decides to exert himself more. He becomes, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be. Still, the play does not suit him. Admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure that other people are more to blame. He becomes angry, indignant, self-pitying. What is his basic trouble? Is he not really a self-seeker, even when trying to be kind? Is he not a victim of the delusion that he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world, if he only manages well? Is it not evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things he wants. And do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can get out of the show? Is he not, even in his best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harmony? Oof, 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 oof. What a paragraph. That's probably one of the paragraphs I identified out. I didn't want to identify in with that. I wasn't like that. No, 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 no. So, man, this paragraph is packed. I agree. I can't wait to hear all your shares. Yes, I have heard from other people that, you know, change the he to I, or even put my name in there. You know, I begin to think life doesn't treat me right. I decide to exert myself even more. That word exert there means self-seeking. When I exert myself, I'm trying, you know, self-seeking is the action I take to get my own way and to keep pushing and pushing and pushing for that action. And, you know, I grew up with a mom, you know, who was very much like this. And I think it was because she was an only child and she didn't have a mom. Her mom died when she was very young. And so she just became the director of everything, just the in charge. And so I learned very young that, you know, to be in charge, that was the way things ran smoothly. And, you know, pushing, you know, my husband, my children, you know, to do what I wanted them to do. And, you know, then I'm producing confusion rather than harmony. And that means confusion is my will and harmony is God's will. And I, you know, I never let God into my life to do this. And the other thing is I had no patience. I had no patience. If you weren't reacting or acting the way I wanted you to do right now, then I let you have it. And, you know, one of the things is my husband's job here was the dishes at night, and I wanted them done right after dinner, and he wanted them done after he finished watching TV, you know, and sometimes the next morning. And, oh, man, I would have a few words. But thank God with the practice of the 12 steps and all of you and reading this big book, which my big book is falling apart, is helping me accept what is, not the way I want it, and to be flexible. My family is noticing that I am more flexible. You know, they change plans and I used to get mad. And now it's like, okay, I could go with that. And, you know, it's much easier way to live. I want inner peace more so than outer turmoil. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mo H, for getting us started. And now, although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday and Tuesday, please allow others to share today. And I'm gonna take a lineup, and if you could please give your name, your first, last name, first initial, and where you are calling from. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kara L.
Bruce E. Florida.
I heard Kara L.
Bruce E. Florida.
Bruce E. from Florida, Bonnie B.,
Deb E.,
and oh, one more time,
Deb E.
Deb E.?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha, Deb E.
Miriam H.
Miriam H.
Liz A.
Right.
Jordan L.
I've got you, Liz A, and I've got Jordan L, and that should be good to get us started. So I've got Kara L from California, Bruce E from Florida, Bonnie B, Deb E, Miriam H, Liz A, Jordan L, please let us know where you're calling from, and we'll go ahead and start with Kara L., then Bruce E. Kara, it's all yours.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, wow. Paragraphs. These last couple of days have been incredible. And I just love how, like I heard before, you know, the description of me is right here. This is me right here. And I really, truly was raised with the notion that if I wanted everything that I thought I needed, all I had to do is work hard. And if I wasn't getting what I thought I needed, I obviously was not enough and didn't work hard enough, and I wasn't enough. And I love this, you know, I start to begin, he thinks that, you know, things aren't going my way, so what do? I exert myself more, you know, so if I think that you needed me to be nicer and sweeter, I did that. If I think you needed to be firmer, I did that. If I think you certainly just needed me to give you more direction, I did that. I decided what I thought everyone around me needed, and then I tried to bend to that. And all in all, it was just me manipulating, me trying to get what I want. I was putting everything in my hands and squeezing so tight that everything fell through my fingers. And it wasn't until, you know, I got in that first step that said my life was unmanageable. And I always thought if it was unmanageable, all I had to do was just work harder, be more. And I couldn't figure out why every time, you know, I just needed to diet better, eat better, exercise more, be a kinder wife, be, you know, be stronger here, be smarter there. And I couldn't understand. I was doing what I was taught to do and how to do it. And it wasn't until I got to the point when I just said, I don't know. I cannot be more. I cannot do more. And at that moment, when I was able to take the breath and I was able to open my heart and my life to a power greater than myself and just said, I need help. Then I worked these steps and I cleared away the wreckage of my past and the roadblocks to my higher power. I was able to just be and allow my higher power to do the more. And with that, I pass and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Kara L. And next up, we'll hear from Bruce E., then Bonnie B.
Yes, thank you, Bruce E. I'm in Florida, down in Southwest Florida. And thank you, everybody. Well, what usually happens, those three words, what usually happens, or what always happens, you know, when I'm in the self-will, like it talks about in the previous paragraph here, the guy's in the self-will, that's me, I'm in the self-will, what usually happens, what always happens, the show doesn't come off very well. He begins to think himself, life doesn't treat him right, he decides to exert himself more. See, that's me. So the show that, I'm in the self-will, the show doesn't come off very well. What happens is, I decide to, you know, that what happens is the show doesn't come off very well. So what do? What I've always done. I work harder. I exert myself more. I learned this. You know, I learned this from my dad. He was a workaholic. You know, I always said, I won't be like my dad, won't be like my dad, won't be like my dad. Well, I wasn't like my dad. I was worse than my dad. He was a workaholic, but I was a workaholic. I became a workaholic and an addict. So I doubled up, tripled up. Tripled up on that one. And he decides to exert himself. So I always learned this, you know, if this doesn't work out for you, man, work harder, you know, be more demanding, be more gracious, you know, just push this thing harder, man, you know, push yourself into an ulcer here. So then it says, then it goes on to say, admitting he may be somewhat at fault. So if I don't turn to God, to higher power, I'm just a mess. You know, I try to do this all myself. It doesn't come off very well. What always happens is it doesn't come off very well. And then I try harder and I work harder and I just, oh, it just so is so grinding. Is he not really a self-seeker even when trying to be kind? Yes, I am. Self-seeking, self-righteous, self-seeking, self-centered, and selfish. It is evident to all the rest of the players that these are the things he wants. And do, in other words, people see this. And do not his actions make each of them wish to retaliate, snatching all they can get up? So if I'm pressuring other people and pushing them hard and all this kind of thing and trying to impress them and trying to get them to, you know, do things my way, they know this. They get onto this and they retaliate. Then they start to do the same thing I did, you know, snatching all they can get out of the show. Is he not even his best moments a producer of confusion rather than harmony? Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been there plenty.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. It woke me up. Yeah, thanks for waking me up. So, and I passed.
Thank you so much, Brucey. I guess
oh,
I should
no.
turn down my timer. Oh, and Brucey is from Florida. Next up, we'll have Bonnie B, then Deb E. Go for it, Bonnie.
Good morning, everyone. I love your timer. No, no mistake there. Bonnie B from Minnesota. I'm going to start my timer. Gratefully recovered today by the grace of God. So very grateful for you, Stephanie, and for Mo and for the other shares. We are so very blessed to be reading these chapters, these paragraphs. So what usually happens, the show doesn't come off very well. Whose show? I mean, this is the problem, right? It's always my show. It's just always my show. It was never God's show. Now, I wanted people to think it was someone else's show, but it was my show. When I first came into this program, the first sponsor I had, just a dear, dear fellow, she said to me, I want you to go through the big book and I want you to cross out the word thinking. I mean, drinking. I want you to put the word thinking there. She said, when you read the big book, I want you to think about the word thinking and see how many times that comes up. So when I was looking at this paragraph, I was thinking, hey, this is the deal. He begins to think, right? He decides. That's thinking again. He becomes, okay, that's thinking before you actually go there. He's a victim of the delusion. That's thinking again. He wants, that's thinking again. This disease to me is 1,000% a thinking disease. And I want people to believe that I'm all about them. But bottom line is every single time I do a 10 step, a fear inventory, a resentment, it always comes back to me. It's always my thinking. And so this is what happens. Instead of like trusting God for every single person and, you know, living in that place where I ceased fighting everything and everyone, which is all I ever knew, I get to release it all. And I get to turn it over to their higher power. And then I'm no longer trying to run their show. And yeah, in the end, there's definitely harmony. Because they get to be who they want to be today, as their God shows them. And I get to be who I'm supposed to be and live in a very tiny hula hoop. A hula hoop with me, my God, my program, and my healthy thinking for today. This is just, I mean, this is freedom. You know, that second half where it says, is he not really a self-seeker? I've got not surrendered, ! Me. Every time I go back into my thinking where I lose, the big book says restless, irritable, and discontent. For me, it's I lose my peace. The moment I lose that peace, I know I have unplugged from God and I am back into me. And so this is, it's really obvious to me, and I'm so grateful to know that it is a thinking disease and that I have a solution, and within 15 seconds I can pivot if I so choose. Do that great turnaround and realign my thoughts to line up with God and to release everyone else and then to live free and let everyone else live free too. And everyone's loving it, including me. And so thank you so much again for allowing me to share and for hearing me. And I hope you guys have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bonnie B. Thank you so much. Let's see. Next, we're going to have Deb Eve and Miriam H. Deb, you're up.
Thanks. Hi, this is Deb E. in Israel. Recovered compulsive overeater. And I keep thinking about that Aesop fable from my childhood that I've probably the only like story I ever heard about surrender in my childhood, and that I always kind of think back to. And I forget what line it was that I was looking at here, but basically, you know, we're talking about the resistance, you know, just sticking in our own will. And it was this story about the sun and the wind were competing to see who was stronger, and their strength would show if they were able to get this man to take off his coat. So the wind wanted to blow as hard as it could to get blow the coat off of him. And the sun wanted to like heat the day up so that he'd just naturally take off his coat. And of course the sun wins and the wind loses, because the forcing doesn't work. And it makes me think of, you know, my tendency without prayer, meditation, without these steps, without my contact with my higher power, is to do that, is to just stick in my will and force, and all the wasted energy that takes. Whereas if I just surrender, it's so much easier to just, you know, take off that coat, right? And just go, okay, I'll do it your way, higher power. And this other sentence stood out to me. What is basic trouble? Like, it's, and there's somewhere else where I forget if it's a paragraph where it's like our trouble is basically of our own making. And I feel like that's been so true for me. Like, I have this knack for complicating things, like things that could just be simple. And I'm not able to make them simple on my own. I need my higher power for that. That just doesn't seem to come naturally for me. Like in the last line of the paragraph, where is he not, even in the best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harmony? And I just need to accept that about myself. For some reason, I like to complicate things, and I'm not even doing it on purpose. That's just like my default. But with the help of, you know, thinking about, are my character defects getting the better of me? Am I in self-will? How can I ask for guidance from a higher power about this? That's where the simplicity comes in, but it doesn't come in like naturally on my own. I need to ask for that help to get that result. And I'll pass with that. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Miriam H. I'm sorry. Thank you, Debbie. Sorry.
That's okay.
next up is Miriam H. Then Liz A. Will the real Miriam please unmute?
Hi, I'm Miriam H. and I am from Southern California. Thank you all for being here this morning. You know, this is a paragraph I'm fond of for the simple reason that, you know, I relate, and I'm really relating right now because I'm redoing my fourth, and I'm being much more structured than I have been in the past. And it all kind of centers around this notion that people just have not followed my script, and it causes a lot of problems. And I want to get to the root of those problems, like it's talking about here, and not be the one that's the source of the confusion. Not be the one that needs to be the center of attention. I want to be the one that kind of promotes and lives in harmony, because anger is something that I can't really afford anymore. It's kind of like I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but it's a very negative emotion for me as I strive and pray and act myself into recovery from compulsive overeating. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Miriam. And Miriam is in Southern California. And Liz A., you're up next.
Hi, this is Liz A. from Los Angeles, California. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service and everyone else on the line. Yeah, this, like you all have said, this is me, you know. In AA, there's a saying, I think I'm a piece of doo-doo and the world revolves around me. And that's exactly me. You know, I can just picture, I've had a tumultuous relationship with my brother for years and years. And it was like he wasn't giving me the approval, the affirmation that I needed, the love. I mean, my self-seeking was like, I got to have your love. And so what I would do is I would just gaslight him. I would just manipulate. You know, I know he loves his daughter so much. So I manipulated him by focusing on his daughter and how wonderful she is. But he still wasn't coming around my way. And I became indignant and self-pitying, you know. And it's just unbelievable to me how it's all about me. It was always about me self-seeking. And, you know, even at the beginning of my early recovery, I would go to meetings, and if I didn't get something out of the meeting, if I didn't like something about the meeting, then I would just leave the meeting, you know? And it's so different now, because even if I'm at a meeting and I'm not relating, or we're not reading anything that I can totally, you know, focus on, I start thinking, well, what can I contribute? Can I add something instead of taking? And it's just been, you know, this controlling thing, as others have shared, comes from childhood. And it's just been about trying to fill that hole, you know. And today I ask God to fill that hole for me. And when I get quiet and I ask for his will, not mine, it happens. And I get peace once again. And I'm so glad to be among you and part of you, and love you all so much. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm glad you're with us. Next up will be Jordan L. And then after Jordan, we'll take another lineup. So Jordan, you're next.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie, for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. And very grateful to be among my people. It's funny, like the shares this morning, the descriptions of our self-imposed crisis, man, I can relate. And I will say too, like, I didn't really get this paragraph when I first, like the first time I came into a 12-step program, I did not really understand what it was talking about here. And that is like, it's all good, right? like I strap in and I hang on. And what happens, like for me, what happens was this was revealed to me over time. so that when I came into Overeaters Anonymous again in 2017, and I sat down with a sponsor and we started reading this book, and I said to this sponsor, like, yeah, like I'm trying to wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world. The problem here is that I'm not managing well. And she was like, Jordan, is it possible that the problem is you're trying to wrest satisfaction and happiness? Rest, by the way, is like, it's like the word itself is in the same lineup as wrestle, right? So it's like it's an aggressive action that I'm like taking in order to get what I think I need out of this world, right? And I was like, my mind blew right there, you guys. I was like, no way. Is that what this is all about? No way. and it has been revealed to me. more and more over time, the yes, I am a victim of the delusion. I'm also in the delusion that I'm a victim, you know? I think I have probably exhausted every single form of self-will you can think of at this point in time, right? And it's like, it's all good. Like, that's part of this journey, you know? That's like a part of this unfolding, if you will, is that I got to do some experimentation and look into those things, right? And what I have found is that those actions, the actions taken from out of that place make my fellows wish to retaliate. They do the same thing. They're trying to snatch all they can get out of the show. and I produce confusion. And I'll end with this just real quick. Early on, it was hard to determine God's will. So that was like a nice, simple test. Is this producing confusion or is it producing harmony? And that gives me like a better idea of what might be God's will. Thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordanelle from Colorado. And we'll take another lineup. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Larry
Robin B.
California.
Pamela K.
Katie H.
Pamela
B.
Larry. I've got Larry G. from California. That's all I heard.
Pamela
Blessley M.
I hear Pamela, I think.
Yes.
Leslie M.
H.
I've got Leslie M. And did I hear a Wendy H?
Heidi
Robin
H.
B. Heidi H.
Thank you.
And I can
Marilee W.
Can you say that again, please?
Marilee W.
Okay, so we're going to go with Larry G, Pamela, didn't get last initial, Leslie M, Heidi H, Marilee W, and if you guys can please say where you're calling from, that would be awesome. So Larry, you're up.
Thank you. Larry G from California. You know, one of the things that keeps me up at night is being asked to be secretary and have to get that lined up. You're doing a great job, Stephanie. Well, Bill is introducing us to, you know, he's starting to introduce us to emotional immaturity. And, well, I have in spades. I actually went to another fellowship in 2007. I had a collapse, a personal collapse. And my bottom line in that program now, this program deals with a family disease, by the way, and my bottom lines are I do not seek appreciation, acknowledgement, or approval outside of myself or God. And man, I've worked my ass off, and of course I had a relapse in that when I rediscovered donuts in December 2018, and I was plunged into a darkness that I never comprehended until I came into visions in May of 2020. What happens is that I try so hard to get your acknowledgement, approval, and appreciation. And when I don't get it, I try even harder and harder and harder. Then I get hurt, and then the hurt turns to anger, then I leave. I can't tell you how many sports teams, classrooms, relationships, civic organizations, even AA, OA, that has happened, and I've left because I couldn't get what I wanted. I actually did a timeline on this in 2007 in that program, and I went back as far as when I was 5 years old. My beloved grandfather died, and I was in his basement playing with his tools, and my uncle came down and scolded me for being there. And I cut him off. That was it. 5 years old, I cut him off. I want nothing to do with him. And today, I continue to work on that. This is a wound that will never heal. I'll get better and better. I'll develop some skills. I will get better and better and develop some emotional sobriety. But it will never, I'll always have to work on it. And when I do today expect something from somebody, I just get my ass handed to me. It's like the universe is just not going to fool around. And I laugh because, oh, there you go, Larry. You know, one more time. putting demands on people to, for your emotional sobriety, emotional security. Today, I practice it in my marriage more than any other place. I actually defer to my wife. For some reason, she's one of us, recovered Al-Anon, and for some reason, she got the common sense. I don't know. I never got that. Must have missed that when they were handing out common sense. And so I defer to her, and it really works out beautifully. I get everything I want, and I used to,
gentle reminder.
My manhood. So anyway, I'm so glad to be on this call, and I pass.
Thank you, Larry. And next up, Pamela, then Leslie M.
Hi, this is Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. God bless all y'all. A great meeting, another great meeting. So I think God found this meeting last week. Wow. I'm just trying. This disease is a very baffling and come in so many ways. And when you get too comfortable, it come with a vengeance. So I'm only as, I think I got upset with something, and I'm dealing with my boyfriend's parents, and he away for today. And it's a hard because his mother got a little anorexia. I got bulimia. To me, that like gasoline fire together. It's just not working out. And I'm just struggling because I really feel I don't want to be a part of it. I just went with me and him. And it just, she triggered me a lot. She bring out the worst version of me his mother bring out. She don't mean to because she also got dementia. And I have daughter mother issues anyway with my mom. She in heaven now, but it was a storm type of relationship. A lot of abuse and drama. And I can't be in that tight environment. I won't keep my recovery. So today I'm slippery slope. And usually the last time my boyfriend went out, I did very well. And that because God and program. Today is up then slippery. So I am struggling. I'm so raised in anger. I do thank God for my sponsor. I spoke to her 9. And I'm just trying to calm down. Because this is the situation I'm in, and nothing I could do about that. But I could work my program so I won't binge again or won't pick up the rest of the debt. It's just been very hard, and I'm playing with a lot of dangerous comfort food because I'm in just such a race, and I don't know where to vent it out at. So that's all I want to say. I'm just praying to God. I reached my lower weight in 2 years yesterday, and everything could be blown in the matter of minutes if I don't get my act together. So I thank God for program and awareness. And you know what? God still loves me, and that enough to get me by. So I'm there praying for recovery for the rest of this day. Maybe I gotta go hour by hour. So that's all I want to say. I pass. Thank you to let me have voice today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pamela P. from Pennsylvania. Leslie M., then Heidi H.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. And there were two things in this paragraph that really spoke to me. It says, admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure other people are more to blame. And that was me. That was me my whole life. I was just pointing the finger at everyone else. It was someone else's fault that I felt this way, that I did this, that I acted this way, that I ate that. I was blaming everyone else. I didn't ever take a look at myself. I was the nice one. I was the good one. Everyone else was the problem. And then it says, also, it says, is he not really a self-seeker even when trying to be kind? And I had all the best intentions for everyone that I tried to make do something that I wanted to do. I thought I was right. I thought that this was the way it was going to get done. That my way was the best way and that people should follow my ideas and my advice. And I just kept repeating it to them and repeating it to them, and they still didn't come around. But I had all good intentions. I was trying to be kind, But in the end, was I self-seeking and selfish? Absolutely. And that's what this paragraph points out to me, is that that's what I need to take a look at. Because, you know, I'm at the point now where it's, I'm not in control of anything, barely, you know. And so I have to show up and do the next right thing, you know. And when I do that, and when I consult with my higher power, then, you know, perhaps something can work out. But, you know, I have to keep my hands off pretty much. I pray for God not to let me get in the way, you know, and to let me, you know, have a good life, which is what I have at this point. And thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Leslie M. from New York. And Heidi H., you're next.
Hi, Heidi H. from Chicagoland. Really happy to be here this morning. I've never been on this late in the day. Stephanie, thank you. I am a 6 a.m. Chicago vision kind of gal, and I have exchanged that for a couple days a week of pickleball, trying to expand my horizons. A sponsor said to me once, read 60 to 63, and this was in another program, every day for 30 days and come back and tell me how your life has changed. Great. I came back and I told her, what do you want me to do? Now, because I'm a good girl, what do you do? Well, for another 30 days, go back and read 60 to 63 and come back and tell me how your life has changed. Oh, good. And I came back and I did that. Okay, what do I do now? Go back and read 60 to 63 for the next 30 days and tell me how your life has changed. And then we began working step 4 and 5. I was ready and I was not in charge. And I was able to take the 4-step experience and turn that over and put that in my God box. I made a decision to work the rest of the steps. You guys have said it all. This has been the most beautiful Al-Anon meeting I've ever been to, because it was codependency, the feelings of, you know, an abusive childhood trauma. We've all been there. These character defects saved my life. People pleasing actually made me survive and get smacked around less with my stepmother. When I was looking for other families, because I didn't like going home, if I was better than your child or really good, well-behaved, I got kudos. Good girl, Heidi. Good girl, Heidi. So food brought me comfort, and that stopped working. Other things brought me comfort. These same character defects brought me comfort, and they stopped working. I'm a one-trick or four-trick pony. These are my love languages, and when they don't work, I do it more. And it wasn't until I came here to trust in a higher power, put down the food and other substances, I'm able to be transparent and not fearful about what I'm feeling, and I have a much bigger toolbox now. And you guys show me how it's done. I am 60 to 63. I do loll in Florida expecting other things to happen. I do step on people's toes, but not as much. And as long as I have 6 and 7, God chooses to heal me in those areas as he sees fit, definitely not where I see fit. So blessed to be here a little later in the morning. Thank you, and I'll keep coming back.
Well, thank you so much, Heidi H. from the Windy City, Chicago land. And Marilyn, I'm so sorry, but we're not going to have time for you today. Overshot the mark. But please come back tomorrow and get your name on that lineup. So we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we will do the Serenity Prayer. So will Justin B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. My name is Justin B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.